totally honest, I grew up listening to Wet Wet Wet.
Fantastic.
Love is all around is obviously. Well, you know, after this weekend, I feel about 60s, 70s. But obviously, it's some iconic music. What's your favourite song that you have done?
Ooh. It'll change for each person. Each person will have a different answer.
Yeah.
For me, there's an album track called How Long, and every time I hear it, the hair stand up the back of my neck. There you go.
Christ, I don't know. Temptation, I don't know. Yeah.
Probably Just a Little.
Hey, that's my favourite song as well.
That's my favourite I've done anyway.
Well, you know, to play live, you know, I like the songs that kind of make people dance and all that. So it has to be something like Lip Service for me, you know, which I just a bit funky and, you know, people can get down and get
just
into
move. Because I suppose, you know, that's the thing with the festival, isn't it? You want to see the audience move and you want to see them get involved with you.
You do. And it's, you know, we're kind of known. And it's not intentional, but, you know, we had a lot of big hits back in the day, and like Angel Eyes, you know, which is kind of more ballad-driven, you know what I mean?
Sweet Surrender,
but, you know, I think when we come to play live, there's a much harder edge, because we're all playing, you know, we're all kind of giving it our all, and it just sort of brings that edge to
our music.
Do you
find that you feed as well? You know, the audience you've got, you kind of feed off them, and it... You lift yourselves anyway, but the audience kind of just absolutely drives you through.
Oh, definitely.
There's a kind of basic rehearsals thing you get where you know the parts, and it's only when you go on stage that you start experimenting and playing off each other. Yeah. Graham will suddenly go into a little bass thing, and it's like, oh, and we all change direction and go
what's
forward.
What's he doing?
Yeah.
Not again. Jesus. Not the solo again, please. That song, man, you know what I mean?
But it makes it interesting for us, as opposed to repeating the same thing every night. I would hate to be in a band where the intro is the same and then the second song is we always say this and we always do that. Can you imagine doing that for 30 years, the same thing? We change it up.
You'd actually get bored, wouldn't you?
Yeah, we change it up every night.
So I've got to ask you, that takes me on to probably my fourth question, but I'm going to come straight, because obviously, Kevin, you've had a phenomenal career. You've gone from Liberty X, was it X Factor?
Pop Stars.
Pop Stars, that's so it. And then obviously,
the
Voice. Where? Yeah, it's like, you know, when you sit, do you ever sit there sometimes at night and think, what on earth has gone on?
I do sometimes, yeah, I do. But yeah.
Is it Blue Peter next? Is that your next choice? Blue Peter or something?
No, yeah, I mean, I do look back sometimes and I think, like, yeah, I've had such a sort of mixed thing, you know, like, it's not just been one thing all the way through. I've done loads of really cool things, you know, I've been really lucky and, yeah, it's just crazy. Yeah, I like when I think of like what I'm doing now with the guys and stuff. It's just like I don't know how I got this lucky really to be doing this. To be honest,
we've seen it with Adam Lambert and Queen, haven't we?
Yeah.
See, so this is a very similar
phone calls and James.
Yes, it's the same situation. But
Kevin has been a shot in our arm as well. Yeah. You know, we have been going for 30 odd years, and we had a tragedy a few years back where it was like, that doesn't look like we can move forward. Kevin's the guy that enabled us to get back on stage.
And this was going to be my question. Let's give him a bit of credit. Yeah. I mean, for me personally, and I'm not saying because she sat there, I think the music is as good now, if not better than it was.
Personally,
but
I think
you get that youthful injection, don't
you? Yeah.
Is that right? Yeah. Is youthful injection right?
I mean, we'd kid ourselves forward if we sort of said you know, we look back on our history and think that's when we were best. You know, I think, as you said, you know, we've all became a little bit better at what we do. So I think, you know, this is like the kind of, you know, a great point in our history, you know, just the fact that somebody new's come in, giving us a breath of fresh air, you know, just breathe fire into the songs that we all kind of loved and kind of grew up with.
Has the dynamic changed much then with Kevin coming in, or has it kind of just been pretty seamless?
No, the dynamic's changed. On stage, it feels much more coherent as a band. Like I said earlier about playing off each other, our previous frontman really was someone who said the same thing every single and every night. So now it's freer. It's more free jazz, man. There's a little story thing that Kevin sometimes tells on stage, which is he was 7 years of age when we released our very first record. So there is an age dynamic there. There is a difference, and I think we need Kevin much more than he needs us.
Well, I was going to say, because I'm sitting here thinking, we're talking about the 80s, the year of the 80s, which is I was born in 83, so I was 7 by the time the 90s came around, and you were smashing out some huge tunes.
Sure.
And I suppose for me, it's like, how do I interview a band whose lead singer is relatively new to the noughties?
It's a
strange one, but obviously, as you look at it, you're doing the classics, and you've got a new album coming out.
Yeah, that's right. We've got a new record, and you know, we called it The Journey, you know, because it told the story of where we are. You know, I mean, you're right. We have all the heritage, we have all the history, and it's like, how do you become relevant today? And you know, how do you even use Instagram, man? You get a guy like Kevin. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. He's the only guy that knows how to work the social
media,
man.
He's the social
man,
media, you know? Injection.
So, I mean, in terms of that, it's like, you know, we've been given a wee chance here, you know. You know, we were a wee bit long in the tooth, you know. We fell into kind of some bad habits, maybe, you know. And when a guy like Kevin comes along, man, it makes us all sit up and take notice. Like, hang on, I need to be on this here, man. You know what I mean? And so we're doing the new album. It also gave us a new road and a new path to go down, you know, with maybe not a completely different direction and style and music.
Just enhancing what you've got.
Well, aye, and sort of, you know, Kevin contributed as well. So, I mean, it's kind of, that in itself creates a new dynamic. That in itself creates a new pathway forward for us. So it's been enlightening, and in the wake of the last 18 months, man, you know, it's been a event that's been uncertain, you know, and there's nothing that brings more certainty than music, I think, you know, and sort of making music.
I think,
you know,
we turn to music, don't we? Yeah. Depending what mood we're in, what emotions we're feeling at the moment, it's Alexa, play whoever, and it is all determined by mood, isn't it? I think the thing for yourselves is that you've kind of got a song for each mood.
Let's hope so today, man. I mean, time will tell, man. But, I mean, with this crowd, it is amazing. And that's the beauty. You said it. It's got such a value to, you know, play our music and get a response from an audience. We've been stuck in 18 months of Zoom calls, you know, trying to write music in a vacuum without anyone really hearing what we've done. Yeah. So this kind of tips the other side of the coin, you know, where it's like we're getting an immediate reaction to what we're playing, and my God, long may it continue.
Absolutely. And you know, writing like a new song, a new album, takes a lot of work. As you get older, it takes its toll a bit
easy,
more.
Easy, mate, easy, easy.
Older, not old. You know, obviously because of what we've gone through with COVID, and obviously Kevin being involved now and having different dynamics, what has writing a new album been like? Is it different?
Yeah, totally different. It used to be we'd go into the studio and spend 3 months in a studio, playing off each other instantly. Someone's got two or three chords, you jam it up and may turn it into something till it gets a mood and an atmosphere, and you move forward and build a song up. In this instance, it had to be all finished songs coming in, well, almost finished, 90% there, to be presented to whether they were going to be moved on by the band or not. So a completely different way of doing it, and it's been done digitally over Zoom. So if Graham has said this a couple of times, you're in a studio and there's a problem with a chord, it takes 10 seconds to fix it, oh that was it, great, done, move on. With Zoom digital, firing files around, it takes about 3 weeks to do that same thing.
You fix a chord, man, it's never been so long to fix one chord in one song, you know what I mean? But you know, that's the issues that you never realise, you know, you don't need it until you actually physically do it. I think it's been invigorating, it's been, you know, it's throwing out issues, but it's nonetheless, you know, creating something like that. And believe me, there was lots of songs that never made the album, lots of them, and you know, we whittled it down to a dozen, you know, new songs, and the ones that we thought were kind of, you know.
You kind of then, you hope these are the right ones, and you wait for the reaction.
Well, that's
from the fans.
You never know. I mean, yeah, you never know how it's going to be received, man.
One
you know?
Of the biggest ones you guys have ever done is obviously Love Is All Around.
Yeah.
15 weeks at number one, 4 weddings and a funeral. You know, when you're writing a song for a film, is it a different process?
No, I'll come in quickly. That's the beauty of what I'm trying to say there, is that Love Is All Around was given to us, do a version of this. So of course, if somebody said do a version of this, it's going to be a huge hit, it's going to have lots of support from a really successful movie. you would have thought totally different about it. We just went in the studio, we recorded it in a day and a half, we didn't think much about it, we had some recycled musical bits that we thought, look, that fits in there. You know, and we thought, once it was finished, that's quite nice. Then it goes out there, grows arms and legs and takes everyone by surprise, and that's what I mean by you never know how it's going to be received or what is going to be received in a way that takes you totally by surprise. So I wish I knew the answer to what's
a
hit single.
One of the musical mysteries.
It is, man.
Sweet little mysteries, yeah.
Yeah. It is. I was trying not to use a pun. I got it in and I thought, I can't
get the user.
Man. We're the cheese meisters, man. You know what I mean?
You know, for yourselves then, obviously when you were growing up, if I start with you, Kevin, when you looked at music and musicians, who were your inspiration growing up that you thought, I'd love to be like you?
My inspirations were all sort of like Motown sort of era, so I just remember like listening to a lot of like Marvin Gaye, Smokey Robinson, Diana Ross, all them sort of people. He came along later. He was more what I wanted to model my image on, not the sound, but but no, I think, you know, for me, Marvin Gaye is like the man for me. You know, that sounds a bit weird, but voice is who I aspired to and who I sort of like used to sing along to, and like, God, imagine if he'd, you know, been around like a bit longer, what we might have got from someone like Marvin Gaye.
That's one of the reasons why Kevin aligns so well with Wait, Wait, Wait. We're a soul band as well, yeah. And maybe all different styles of music, but there's always a soul element running through the middle of it, and Kevin continues that, you know, and enhances that, yeah, so well for us.
What about yourselves then? What? Because obviously you started before Kevin,
yeah.
And who were your musical inspirations growing up and getting into the industry?
There was a strange kind of thing happened when we were all about 14 at school. I was a year older, high school, and I met Graham and Neil, and there was an argument ensued about punk, The Clash, The Sex Pistols being better than Queen or Status Quo or Thin Lizzy. I remember this interaction about, that's rubbish and that's finished, that music. Punk is the thing it should be. And that was where we went, oh, you're into music? I'm into music. Different styles. And we met up that weekend, bass guitar, drums, keyboards, and started. So even at age 14, 15, we were already, our connection was always the music. And I'd just like to say that Queen, Thin Lizzy are much better than the punk stuff.
I
was right all that time.
I'd just like to add to that. You know, yeah, the punk rock spoke to me as a young guy, because it was like this aggressive kind of, you know, it was a narrow road as well. It was just kind of, you know, anyone can do this, you know, and that's what made me pick up an instrument. But one of the first guys I ever saw was David Bowie. And he was a kind of eclectic, you know, you couldn't really nail him down. He did The Young Americans, which was a soul album for all intents and purposes. So, you know, seeing somebody like that, that's obviously went in there somewhere, you know, and inspired me to kind of, you know, that's, maybe I can do something like this, you know, maybe I can get a couple of guys together that are like-minded and we can take this on a journey.
You love different types of music, you know, don't you? And then you kind of like, can we do that? Was it kind of that type of thing?
Aye, I mean, as we were talking about, we all had different tastes, you know, and probably in the beginning, obviously, when we were younger, we listened to what our mothers and fathers were playing, you know, like Sinatra and Dean Martin and the Carpenters and all that kind of stuff. And then as we got older, it was like we got into the Clash and the Beatles and, you know, the Pistols and all the songwriters, and we tried to be songwriters ourselves, you know, like Squeeze, you know, different than Tilbrook and, you know, Strummer and Jones. And
I'm just going to add there was a moment actually around about the very early in the 80s, maybe late 70s. But a lot of new bands, independent bands came along, Scritti Plitty, China Crisis were part of this thing this weekend, and I remember sitting at home watching them on Top of the Pops and going, they're from a working class town and they can do it, we've got a chance of doing it, you know what I mean? There's a wee way, there's a way of navigating through this and getting to a place, expecting to be number 99 in the charts, a wee indie band, never expecting the success that we've had. But
yeah, I mean, that's what Graham was saying about the punk thing. It was, you know, they couldn't really play their instruments that well, and we really couldn't, you know. Maybe still can't. Do you know what I mean?
But it's so, that, did it?
So that kind of, I guess, inspired us just to look what they can do. Why don't we just try and see how we go? And, you know, here we are, obviously, you know.
I mean, the other thing was, as Tommy said, you know, we were trying to be Queen. We were trying to be, you know, Thin Lizzy, Bowie, The Clash, getting it totally wrong, and sort of going, well, it's, we're trying to be that, but it's turned into something that we've created, you know, and that sort of opened a big door for us. Suddenly we were like, actually, it's not this great mystery that we thought it was, you know. It was like, it's just down to finding the right song now, you know. And
so obviously, you're in a position where things change.
Yeah.
You're left without a lead singer.
Yeah.
How did you get Kevin?
Well, we held auditions in Glasgow, and they went terribly. We had three guys. One sounded like George Michael.
Yeah,
one sounded like Pavarotti. One sounded like
Elvis.
Who's the last one? Elvis.
Can you imagine a guy coming in? You're doing a rehearsal, and he goes, "Can't open your wish, well, hey, thank you very much." You know, and we'd done that, and we had a Pavarotti guy who came in and went, "Oh, feel it in my finger." Great singers,
yeah.
Not the right style.
I'd have took any of those guys over me.
Obviously,
especially George Michael.
Sorry, obviously at the time we were kind of quite.
He had no faith.
Quite bum. it was a new, kind of a new experience because Marty just left with it, kind of saying goodbye. Which still hurts me today. So we were kind of like, God, what are we going to do? Do you know what I mean? We've not got a singer, right? I mean, it's pretty heavy,
man.
You know, where do we go from here?
Losing a singer is kind of a big thing in a band.
Where do you go from here?
It's kind of, it's nail and coffin spring to mind, and I think what happened was, you know, we didn't really know what we were doing. We didn't even know if we were going to carry on, you know, because we held auditions, but it was very obvious that
kind of
it was like
when people walk in the door that
you know
it's not right.
Wasn't it going to happen?
It's a bit like a blind date or something. You know,
Kevin was on a radar.
In a nice way, yeah.
Kevin was on a radar, and you know,
Kevin walked in. This gorgeous man.
I saw. You know, we'd all seen the audition, and you know, you knew he could do a job. It was a matter of getting them down, because the other thing that always came into play was it needs to fit both of us, right? It needs to fit us.
You're loving it, but it's Kevin.
Exactly. Yeah. So that was the other thing that we'd never really thought about, was that both has to fit for each other, you know?
I suppose you can be forgiven for thinking, well, Kevin's going to love to sing with us.
Yeah. Aye.
And then you sit there and think, hang on a minute, will he?
Well, he came down. Luckily, we hooked up a meeting. You came down, you were playing a gig, and you said, "I'll swing by and come in and say hello." Yeah. And we sat for about an hour, and I knew I liked him.
Yeah.
Where the real kind of value was for me was,
do you like
when you're looking for a singer, you're kind of going, right, we've had this before, and you're trying to replace.
Like for like.
Totally. Yeah. You know, that was the wrong thing to do, you know. Hindsight's a great thing, you know. Yeah. So when Kevin came in, completely different personality, completely different charisma. I dug that, and then I said, "Listen, man, the gig's yours, but obviously, it needs to go to the committee of everybody has to agree.
Yeah.
Why don't you come up and, you know, sing in a, you know, with a band? Because we played the song and all that.
Yeah.
And then the minute I heard, you knew
after one song like that. What was it like for you then to have this communication that what want you to be the lead singer?
Yeah, it was bizarre, to be honest. But it was like bizarre in a good way, obviously. You know, I think that's where I've had quite a lot of moments during my career where things have like been thrown up that were just like kind of just out of the blue and a bit weird, and like, and kind of made me like think this is why I'm doing this, you know, because it's just amazing, you know, to have like things just thrown in your path. You know, sometimes they're not always great things, but you know, just having that sort of not knowing what's going to happen day to day, you know, I kind of enjoy that a little bit about this. So, when the guys got in touch and stuff, I forgot what the question was now.
what was it like for you? It's quite interesting for us.
Kind of reinvigorated your brand, didn't it? And then kind of like this happened.
Yeah, so. But is that what the question you asked originally?
What was it from your side of things? When you got the call, what was that like?
Have you done it in the before?
I'm sorry. Do you know what? I'm not going to lie. I need a wee so bad that I'm telling myself in my head, like, just keep it in. But
I've literally got one question after this, then you can pee.
But too late, you're wait.
But no, I mean, obviously, like,
Tom, you're on fire.
Amazing, really, you know, to just to that the guys wanted me to join the band. You know what I mean? And
yeah,
a privilege really to be asked. I think for me, what's really interesting and what's like is a real sort of privilege is I'm kind of being brought into this era that I wasn't around in, and with this band.
He's always got a dig about age, you know, but like still booming, isn't it?
Yeah, but the 80s, I was massively into 80s music as well growing up, so like for me, like doing these sort of shows and stuff is like brilliant, you know. I've kind of done it with Liberty X and being around the noughties and the 90s and stuff, and now I'm here and around all these people that I used to listen to as well, and it's like, it's just like you know, like I've been able to sort of step from one era into another, and the fact that the guys value what I can do as well and how amazing they are, you know, it's just, you know, like I say, I just feel very privileged, really.
And obviously tonight you're going to headline Rewind.
Yeah.
What can we expect? Are we going to see the classics and some of the new stuff?
Well,
or are you just going to go for it?
It'd be wrong for us to come out and play any kind of lots of new stuff. We've bleeded in one song, which is our new single, that you know, hopefully some people, maybe one or two, have maybe heard, so the rest is big hits. If you come to a Wet 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 show, we do a very specific thing, you know. People expect to hear specific songs as well. And, you know, we have a talk about the set and stuff like that, you know, and like, it's got to be the hits.
Yeah.
And it's a good problem to have that we've got lots of choice there, man, you know, we can pick
not sure the songs to pick.
That's a great thing.
One of the hardest things about tonight is that they've said you've got an hour. We normally do a 2-hour show, so we're actually dropping things, you know. Well, you know, and judging, saying things like, well, it was only number 9 in the chart, so we won't play that tonight. Yeah. It's a great place to be in.
I suppose the positive is some of them have 15 minutes, so
yeah.
That's it.
We're privileged that we're getting 4 times that, man. Aye, because I mean, sometimes we've done those gigs where you're on and you sort of, you go on, the first 3 songs kind of almost run by you anyway, you know, it takes you 3 songs to acclimatise to your situation. But that time, if you get 15 minutes, that's your set.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? It's like, oh, this is the last song now, and it sort of passed you by. At least here, we've got a chance to, you know, bring the crowd with us, you know, and take them through the 80s, the 90s, and the noughties, and then into the present day. Yeah, the Kevins, man, that's
that's what we're going to call it. The rest of the night is the 80s, 90s, noughties and the Kevins. That is our
love.
Guys, listen, I am absolutely honoured to have you in here.
Yeah,
it's such a privilege to meet you. It's phenomenal.